This is the 17th Street Canal. A look at it is one of the best ways to drive home how far below sea level much of New Orleans is. The level of the water is generally much higher than that of the surrounding ground. The canal forms a border between two parishes, Louisiana's version of counties. So far, you've been in Orleans Parish, which contains New Orleans proper. On the other side of the canal is Jefferson Parish, which is mostly home to suburbs. In the middle of the 19th century, this area was still wetland, and canals like this one were built to drain it. That opened up space for the city to grow, but the land it created was below sea level and has continued to sink since then. The only thing that keeps it from becoming wetland again is the pump system that daily empties water from the city into Lake Pontchartrain. Today, this is an outfall canal, the last link in the chain of the pump system, and of the three in the city, the 17th Street Canal is the largest. It could move 6 billion gallons a day on its own. The overall pump system is the largest in the world, a huge feat of engineering, and its failure would have similarly massive consequences. August 29, 2005 wasn't the first time these canals were involved in a flood. Most memorably, there was Hurricane Betsy in 1965, when canal water overtopped what were then shorter earthen levees. After Betsy, federal legislation called for a series of protective measures, including concrete walls added to the outfall canals, to be designed, built, and maintained by the Federal Army Corps of Engineers. 40 years later, in 2005, many of the provisions of that legislation had never been executed, but the walls had, and their height added confidence that the canals wouldn't overtop again. So the morning after Katrina, it was a shock to many to see water come bursting from the bottom of the concrete walls. The pressure of the water in the canal had pushed through the unreinforced earth underneath the wall. With its foundation destroyed, sections of the wall itself soon followed. Most of the water people fled as they climbed stairs in their homes, in the Superdome, and in Charity Hospital came from right here and from similar breaches in the London Avenue Canal to the east. In the years since Katrina, the canals have gotten a major share of the attention, and their guardians have gotten a major share of the blame. To cut costs back in 1965, the Army Corps had concluded a shallow foundation would do the job. Their own post-Katrina investigative task force concluded that design and construction flaws in the protective system were to blame for most of the damage. And in 2008, a federal judge agreed, finding the Army Corps responsible but not financially liable. A previous round of disaster-related legislation in 1928 had absolved federal agencies of financial responsibility for flood damage. The plaque at the site of the breach on Bel Air Drive notes this fact, and also points out that this was one of 50 places where federal flood protections failed that summer. And that failure wasn't unanticipated. Both the Army Corps and a local newspaper, the Times-Picayune, had conducted studies that anticipated the kinds of effects a hurricane like Katrina would have. Improvements have been made. Throughout the 2010s, the city has conducted a years-long process of rebuilding below-street drainage infrastructure to increase the system's capacity. Valves like the one here at the end of the 17th Street Canal have been strengthened to better shut out surges from the lake. Levees have been heightened, and the bases of flood walls have been widened to make them less likely to be undermined in the future. But even so much attention amounts more to upkeep than to a permanent fix. In 2019, the Army Corps determined that the $14 billion spent since Katrina on improvements, meant to protect the New Orleans area against a 100-year storm, will only measure up to the task until 2023. That's because the ground in New Orleans is sinking. The constant emptying of water by our pump system is an impressive accomplishment, but it's also a partial cause of the sinking that weakens buildings, cracks streets, and brings the whole city gradually deeper below sea level. And the rise of the sea level itself puts us on an eventual collision course with another disaster. In light of all that, there are plenty who claim that the problem is the fundamental design of the system. Alternatives have been proposed through events like the Dutch Dialogues, a series of conversations between designers and engineers from Louisiana and the Netherlands, where similar challenges around living with water have been dealt with very differently. The organizers of those conversations have proposed a plan that centers around keeping water in the city, in widely distributed, highly visible water features. Whether sweeping ideas like this will get implemented, fully or partially, depends on the same factors that slowed down the improvements in 1965. Questions of cost, politics, the inertia of the status quo, the challenges of collaboration between local and federal agencies, and what else calls for our attention in the meantime. When you're ready to move on, You'll get back on Hammond Highway, going back the opposite way you came, toward West End Boulevard. When you reach that intersection again, you'll turn left onto Lakeshore Drive. Shortly after that turn, you'll pass through the gate of a flood wall. There'll be parking areas on your right. Pick one that gives you a view of a red-roofed lighthouse just beyond the restaurant on the left side of the street.